All right, are we on the air? I think we're on the air. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. It's July 30th, last Sunday of July. And I'm just gearing up. I'm just making sure all my recording stuff is going on here, and I think we're doing good. And in any case, yeah, happy Sunday. Happy Sunday morning. I wanted to talk about the tactics and techniques and procedures of the Antichrist and the Antichrist forces. And as I've mentioned before, I'm trying to eschew the term the Marxist or the leftist or the Democrats. But these are the forces of the Antichrist. There's only two powers that I'm concerned about. There's Christ and there's Antichrist. There is no third path. There is no third way. There is no neutral territory. Remember Star Trek? We're in the neutral zone. There is no neutral zone. There's no libertarian path. I used to look for the libertarian. I was a member of a libertarian party in a county decades ago. And the intentions are good. Look, I just want to get along. We just want to get along with everybody. You know, you do your thing. I'll do my thing. But we need to find a way to get along and live in peace. All I wanted to do was mind my own business and go my own way. And so the temptation is to find this libertarian way, but it doesn't work. Libertarianism is bankrupt. I wish it wasn't, but it really is. There is no neutrality. You can't say, oh, we're going to have a libertarian system. Well, what are you going to teach in the public schools? You're either going to teach them the Ten Commandments or sodomy. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You're either going to push transsexualism and the butchery of children, or you put the Ten Commandments on the wall. There's no third way. You can't justify one over the other. You have to choose a faith. You have to choose a God. And for the Christian, there is only one choice, is Jesus Christ. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts this morning. And, you know, nobody's perfect, myself included. And there was a segment in there where you had these, I'll call them Antichrist, but I'm sure they're Democrat congressmen. And they're quizzing a guy who considers himself an evangelical scholar, an evangelical leader, an evangelical elite, who writes books on the, it's a horrible thing that the evangelicals are being twisted and converted by Donald J. Trump. And so they're asking him these leading questions, and he's going right into it, and he says, "Oh my God, he's an evil man, he's a bad man. It's the corruption of Christianity. It's the destruction and corruption of Christianity." And I grew up an evangelical in the Baptist Church, and they use it as a bully pulpit to accuse and manipulate the masses. Oh my God, I can't support Donald Trump because he had an affair. I can't support Donald Trump because he's a bad man and he's not a good Christian. And it's theatrics, it's performative, it's a way of manipulating the masses. And I wanted to come back and circle back and just say, look, nothing is new under the sun. There's nothing that's new under the sun. And I wish with all my soul that the church and the Christians would go back to the Holy Scriptures and read the Holy Scriptures and say, hey, there's nothing new here. The TTPs, the tactics, techniques, and procedures of the Antichrist forces, because that's really all there is. There's either Christ or Antichrist. There is no other choice. It's not Democrat versus Republican, conservative versus liberal, totalitarian versus free. Somebody had a good point the other day. So what's the purpose of liberty? What's the purpose of being free? Being free from what? And how do you define freedom? Is freedom the freedom of transsexuals to go into grade schools and convert little children? Is that what the definition of freedom is? Is liberty the liberty of trannies to parade their debauchery in public? Is that liberty? Is liberty the ability to go out and buy fentanyl and crack and destroy your lives and the lives of other people? Is that liberty? And why stop there? I mean, if we have abortion as a fact of liberty, why not the murder of others? And so you run into a problem pretty quick. I mean, liberty to what? What is the purpose of liberty? It's not an end in and of itself. What is the Westminster Confession said? What is the purpose of man? It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief purpose of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. It's been our destiny since the first chapter of the book of Genesis. And we've lost that. You cannot have a libertarian society. You cannot have a society that's dedicated to liberty and freedom. It's either going to be dedicated to Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. And one of the great things that I like about history is God in history, he demonstrates his wisdom to mankind. One of the great benefits of the American experience for 400 years, and I'll go back to the Puritans and the Pilgrims, who came here to North America to establish a Christian nation, a racially Christian and a theologically Christian nation on this earth. That was their purpose. I'm 100% for that. The Pilgrims and the Puritans, they had a little, you know, infighting amongst the other, kind of like, you know, I don't know, some Christian denominations today, but they're all on the same page. We're going to build a Christian civilization here in North America. It's an extension of European Christendom. European Christendom was becoming corrupt in many ways, and they said, we have to go out. You know, our duty is not just to, you know, save ourselves, but our duty is to future generations, and we must establish and build a Christian civilization, and we're going to do it in the wilderness of North America. We're going to establish Christian nations in North America. Racially Christian, racially white, theologically Christian. No apologies whatsoever to anybody about this, nor should they. Then the United States says, oh, well, you know, we have these ideas from the French Enlightenment, the French darkening, the French atheism, and we're going to go for this sort of this neutral country where, yes, we acknowledge this God somewhere, and eventually those ideas took over, and the Antichrist forces came in, and they have expunged Jesus Christ from American culture and the American government. They have expunged the Holy Scriptures from American culture and American government. Say, oh, aren't we wonderful? We're so wonderful. We're not going to impose our morality on anybody else. And they're liars. This is the Antichrist forces, whether you call it the Masons or the Illuminati or the Jews. They serve their god, Lucifer, who comes as an angel of light, comes as a man of wisdom, as he did to Eve. Excuse me. Looks like we're still live here. That's good. We're still live. We still got a live feed. We're enlightened. We're more enlightened now. We don't need to impose our dogmatic theology on all of America. And so you begin with it and you use that as a lever to eradicate all Christians' ideas, all Christian concepts, and I'm not talking Judeo-Christian. Judaism is Antichrist. Eliminate the Word of God. Eliminate the Holy Scriptures from every aspect of society. Make the Ten Commandments illegal in the schools. Oh, look at us. We're so righteous. We're not going to impose our morality on anybody else. Yet now, what have they replaced it with? Trannyism. We're going to teach your children how to be trannies and sodomites. This is your alternative. The alternative to the Ten Commandments is trannyism and sodomy in the public schools. And these same Antichrist forces, led by the synagogue of Satan, it always is. Don't tell me it's not. It always is led by Satan's children in the synagogue of Satan. I mean, that's what the Holy Spirit, if you would go back to the Scriptures, you would find that nothing has changed in 2,000 years. I've got to find my glasses here. I'm gonna go through a few of the TTPs of the Antichrist. We're going to talk about what they do. They slander Jesus Christ. By extension, they slander the Christians. These right-wing Christian fanatics are evil. They're from the devil. They don't believe in the devil. So they call them racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. And I want to look at the church and just say, where are those terms in your Holy Scriptures? Where are those terms in your Bible? They're not there. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt not be an anti-Semite. It does not there. It's an invented word by the Jews, of the Jews, for the Jews, who are literally the devil's children in the synagogue of Satan, according to Jesus Christ. And if that is quote-unquote anti-Semitic, how come you're not anti-Semitic? Oh, they're racist. Oh, everybody's a racist. Look at the history of ancient Israel, not modern Israel, ancient Israel. They went into the promised land. They didn't say, oh, we want to build an all-inclusive society where every race and color and religion is welcome. That's an antichrist idea. That's an antichrist idea. You want to know who built that? Babel, ancient Babel. They said, come on out. All peoples, nations, tongues, religions, come. All you got to do is bow down for 30 seconds when we beat the drums and blow the trumpets. Just recognize there's a central unified authority over the entire kingdom of Babylon. And then you can go back and you can do your own little religious practices. It's the same thing we're trying to do today. Oh, yeah, you can be a Jew, you can be a Christian, you can be a Hindu, you can be Baptist and Charismatic and Pentecostal and Roman Catholic and Tridentine Catholic. Long as you recognize who the boss is, and the boss ain't you, it's not your God. It's whatever we say, whatever the elites say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would have nothing to do with it. But the church today, oh, we'll be happy to. We'll bow down and worship your God. Blow the music, we'll come down and worship, and we'll go back and play patty cakes in our church. And have interfaith summits with the Jew and the Muslim, and the atheist for that matter, and the homosexual. But Christians, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were in the furnace of fire with Jesus Christ, you're a fanatic. You're a traitor. You're treasonous. You're an insurrectionist. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Nothing's changed in 3,000 years. We're going to get to Moses and David. Look at some of my scriptures. The Jews incite political, the Antichrist forces represented by the Jews, without question. They incite political and economic leadership against the church. Acts 15, verse 30. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence. There we go. Some rich folk, and the leading men of the city, rich and powerful, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. There's nothing new. The Antichrist forces, led by the you-know-whos, incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city. Look, you need to go after these radical right-wing extremists, okay? We know that you're a good Christian. You need to denounce these radical right-wing anti-Semitic racists named Paul and Barnabas. And let's get the leading men of the city, the Bill Gates. Let's get all the leading men, all the leading businessmen. Let's get Elon Musk. Let's get all the leading. Let's get them all to denounce and renounce these radical right-wing extremists, the intolerant bigots. Nothing's new in 2,000 years. The Antichrist forces accuse the church and Christ of doing evil. This is what I saw in this Christian hearing. They're accusing the church of doing evil because they supported Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not my savior. He's not your savior. But you have to be wise to the TTPs of the Antichrist. And you got to be willing to name the Antichrist. You have to be willing to name the Antichrist. Stephen named the Antichrist. Jesus Christ named the Antichrist. John named the Antichrist. Paul named the Antichrist. Peter named, they all named the Antichrist. None of them had any compunction whatsoever to avoid naming the Jews. None of them. Every one of them were completely willing to come out and name and call out the Jews. But you're a better Christian than Jesus Christ, I guess. So we coddle and defer to the Jews because we're, I don't know, what is it? Are we terrified of them? Are we afraid of being called demon-possessed and insane? Like they called Jesus Christ? It's the same intimidation today as it was 2,000 years ago. Today they say, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Oh, you're a racist. Oh, you're a misogynist. Oh, you're homophobic. And nobody wants to be called that stuff. So they back down and they shut their mouths. Okay, the same thing happened 2,000 years ago with the church. Here's what the Jews, why do you think the Jews is an issue has gone away? Does the scripture go away? I'm asking this of the Christians. Did the Holy Scripture just suddenly not matter anymore? John chapter 8, verse 48. John chapter 8 is a powerful verse. Read 30 through, I think it's about 60. Powerful. It'll change your world. It'll turn your world upside down. If you read John chapter 8, verses about 30 through, I think maybe it's 59 or so, absolutely will change your world if you meditate upon the 8th chapter of the book of John. Completely will change your world. And then read the rest of what John wrote. 1 John, 2 John, and the Revelation. In relationship to this four-letter word, Jews. Three-letter word, Jew, whatever. It's a Bible word. Stop being afraid of it. It's a Bible word. It's an eternal word. If you're afraid of the Word of God because you don't want to offend people, well, it's the same thing 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ. The disciples went to Jesus Christ. And they said to Jesus Christ, don't you know you're offending them? Wow. Don't you know you're offending the Jews, Jesus? And Jesus said, I don't care. They're blind guides. That was a real insult. To call somebody blind is to call them unclean. You could not sacrifice a blind animal as a sacrifice to God Almighty. So they're blind, they're unclean, number one. Number two, they're blind because they're in darkness. They walk and live in darkness. So it was a real 1-2 punch when Jesus Christ called them the blind guides of the blind. The Jews answered Jesus and said, aren't we right to say that you're a Samaritan and are demon-possessed? When they call you a racist and an anti-Semite and a Nazi and a Hitler, they're calling you demon-possessed. It's the same thing. But we live in a culture that doesn't believe in demons. So you call people racist and Hitler. It's the manifestation of evil in the 20th and the 21st century. Nothing is more evil than that. Who set up those rules? Who set up those guidelines? The forces of the Antichrist did. Who are the elite special forces of the Antichrist? It's the synagogue of Satan. It's the children of the devil. John 8:52. The Jews said to Jesus, they exclaimed, now we know that you're demon-possessed. Okay, nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Except calling you demon-possessed, they call you a racist and an anti-Semite and homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive. Wake up, church, and you better toughen up. If they call this to Jesus, and Jesus Christ told us, he says, listen, if they're calling me Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call you? Jesus Christ said, he said, if they're calling me Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call you guys? But we're afraid. We don't want to be called that. Oh, we're not this, we're not that. And we'll go around doing everything we can to prove that we're not anti-Semitic to the extent that we call our master and king a Jew. And we don't say that to honor Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we don't say that to honor Jesus Christ. We're saying this so that the Jews cannot accuse us of what we ought to be, which is anti-Semitic. Now, that word is problematic. The modern Jews aren't from Shem. They're not even a Semitic people. They're Europeans. They converted to the Talmud, which makes them twice the sons of hell as the original Pharisees. John chapter 8, 31. The Jews says to Jesus, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father God. They claim to be followers of God. They accuse Jesus Christ of being born of fornication. They slander the Holy Spirit. They don't mince words. They go right to the heart of the matter. And the Christians will beat around the bush and try to hide and try to dodge. We're not racist. We're not misogynist. We're not sexist. We're not anti-Semitic. And Jesus come right out and says, Jesus Christ, you weren't from the Holy Spirit. You're born of fornication. They go right to the heart of the matter. And the church won't. Church won't quote what Jesus Christ said about the Antichrist and his forces. How about a false sense of patriotism? Anybody hear about the J6ers that are accused of insurrection and treason? Ain't nothing new about that. The Jews and their false patriotism. As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release Jesus, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you release this man, you're no friend of Caesar's. Everyone who makes himself out to be king opposes Caesar. They accused Jesus Christ of insurrection and treason. And they claimed to be falsely loyal to Caesar. They wrapped themselves in the flag of Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. We're loyal servants of Caesar. Jesus Christ is an insurrectionist. Jesus Christ is a traitor. It's the same thing 2,000 years ago as it is today. Man, this needs to come out of the pulpits, I'm telling you. Again, the Jews, John 19, verse 15. We have no king but Caesar. The Antichrist forces today, led by those who call themselves Jews but are not, but are liars and are the synagogue of Satan. Oh, we're for democracy. We're for the rule of law. We're for patriot. We're for America. They're the same Jews that accused Jesus Christ of insurrection and treason. They're the same people. This fight is dirty, Christian. And y'all want to be holier than thou. You want to be holier than Jesus Christ. Oh, I don't want the Jews to accuse me of anything. This is a dirty fight. You better side with Jesus Christ on it. Never side with the Jews. Never side with a Jew. Never. The biblical definition of treason is siding with the Jews. All right, and close out with this. You accuse the Christians of being unchristian. That's the biggest thing they're doing in that congressional hearing that I was telling you about. These Antichrist senators, oh, I was raised Baptist. Oh, that's not the church I knew in my youth. And they got Mr. Dr. Evangelical Christian up there slamming other Christians because they're not very Christian and Donald Trump's not very Christian. Nothing new about this. Nothing. What is it they said about Jesus Christ? John comes. He doesn't eat or drink. He fasts and he doesn't drink. And he says he has a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking. You call him a wine bibber. You call him an alcoholic. Oh, he can't be a good Christian. He's down there drinking with the sinners. You must reject him. That's not very Christian. Reject Jesus. He's not. He's drinking and eating with the sinners and the tax gatherers and the harlots. Nothing's new. Nothing's new about this. Church, you got to get over this. Pastors, you need to warn your congregation about this. For the Son of Man, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Do they not do the same thing today? Oh, look at these Christians, these hypocritical Christians. Donald Trump is an adulterer, and he's, you know, this and that and the other thing. Same thing, Matthew chapter 11, 18 through 20. John comes, he's pure as driven snow, and you call him demon-possessed. Jesus shows up, he's eating and drinking, and you call him a glutton and an alcoholic. You're not going to win. You're not going to win with these people. You can't position yourself to be acceptable by them. You're doing a dance that has no end. Take your stand, man. Make your stand. I'm going to give you two other examples. Prophets of God. Prophets of God. Moses' first 40 years were spent enjoying the flesh pots of Egypt. He was a young prince of Egypt. All the perks and perquisites of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. One point he wakes up and he says, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to be loyal to my race. Racial loyalty, by the way. Racial loyalty. Moses, racial loyalty. Moses was motivated by racial loyalty. Hello, he was motivated by racial loyalty. Oh, Moses was a racist. Moses was a racist. Why, Christian, do you listen to the accusations of Satan? Moses goes out there and he commits race murder. He murders Egyptians. And by that, he commits treason and he's starting an insurrection. Treason, murder, and insurrection. That's where Moses got to start. Loyal to his race. Oh, we believe we're all one in Christ and blah, 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 blah. You don't say it to honor the word of God. You say it so the Antichrist can't accuse you, and the Antichrist drives you into submission and obedience to him. That's what's going on when they use these terms, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. All those are moral cudgels to beat you into spiritual and ideological submission to the Antichrist. That's all those are. Pastor, you need to explain this to your congregation. Oh, God is against racism and also. Stop that. Where is your knowledge of the scripture? Jesus Christ goes to the Samaritan woman, double minority with a special needs child. She's crying out to Jesus Christ. Jesus, help my daughter. She's got a demon, special needs child. She's a woman. Well, there's your minority status. She's a Samaritan. There's double minority status. Jesus won't even talk to her. Won't even talk to her. Finally, he says, listen, I only came for my blood. I came for my blood, not you, not y'all. I only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, said Jesus Christ to the double minority with a special needs child. Get over this, church. Get over the idea that racism is a bad term. It's not. Moses was loyal to his race. Jesus Christ was loyal to his race. Get rid of this Antichrist morality. And finally, Jesus Christ calls her a dog. Jesus Christ literally calls a woman a dog. It's not good to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. No, there's to you, you dog. She says, Jesus, you're right, I am a dog. You're right, I am a dog. But even the dogs eat scraps from the master's table. Jesus said, okay, I'll throw you a scrap. Killed her kid. You got to get out of this idea that Christianity is not racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, random. You got to burn those words. Don't ever say you're not these things. Burn them. Relish in them. Put it in their face. Stop being defensive. Stop pretending that you dance to their song. We don't dance to their song. King David, whom the Bible says was a man after God's own heart, which means a man after the heart of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ loved King David. Loved King David. Jesus Christ loved King David. He said, now there's a man. That's a man. I'm going to be his offspring. I'm going to be his descendants through Mary. The entire life of David was about blood, from slaying the bear to slaying the lion to slaying Goliath. Then he's going to marry Saul's daughter. Saul wanted to have David murdered because he was the anointed one of God, and Saul was a false king who loved the world. Saul loved the world. He saved the life of Agag. Samuel comes down and says, why did you do this, Saul? Why did you disobey God? Well, I wanted to be inclusive and tolerant and show forgiveness to my enemies. I wanted to be a good Christian. I was going to forgive my enemies and give him his life back. What would Jesus do? And the church has bought into this. Evil's not too strong of a word. Bought into this evil, these lies. Saul was supposed to slaughter everybody. But, he was going to be a good Christian. Saul was going to be a good Christian. Well, you know, we're going to show a little tolerance, a little forgiveness to our enemies. And, you know, it's really not necessary. What would Jesus? Jesus surely would have forgiven him. And Samuel, it's one of my favorite chapters, verses in the whole Bible. Samuel, the prophet of God, hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord at Gilgal. Samuel hewed, he chopped him up into pieces with the sword before Jesus Christ, before God Almighty, in the presence of God Almighty. Saul lost his kingship. He wanted to be friends with the world. He wanted to be a good little Christian. And that's what I'm afraid. That's where the Christian church is today. We want to be good little Christians. We want to love the Jew and the homosexual. And we want to have peace with the world. There's a place in the Bible, Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, where the Almighty warns his church, you need to get out of that whore. This is the whore. That's the whore. Saul was playing the whore. Church is playing the whore when they want to have unity with the Jew and the world. We're good, loyal subjects of the empire. We're not treasonous and traitors like the J6ers are or the Trump supporters are. Saul wanted to do the good Christian. Well, let's just forgive. We don't have to kill everybody. Samuel chopped up Agag into little pieces with a sword in the presence of Jesus Christ. One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. But the church is too good for Samuel the prophet, too good for him. King Saul required David to give him 100 foreskins of the Philistines. David went out and said, no, that's not enough. I'm going to give you 200. He slew 200 Philistines. This is race war. Race war. Race war. Why couldn't he have just got 200 foreskins? Maybe it's a few Jews. I don't know. A few people from the tribe of Benjamin. I don't know. A few Ishmaelites. Well, let's just make it, you know, not a racial thing. No. He went after the Philistines. Race war, murdered them, gave the foreskins at 200 of them. What does the Bible say? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. David had a harem. He had multiple wives and he had his harem. And you listen to these Jews. Why do you listen to the Jews and their accusations? We didn't join a morality club. Morality is good. I've said that 100 times on this show. Morality is a good thing. It protects you, protects me, protects our family. But we didn't join a morality club. We're loyal to a monarch. His name is Jesus Christ. We're loyal to him unto death. Have you never read the story of Moses? By the way, Moses worshiped Jesus Christ. No man has seen the Father, yet the Bible is very clear. It says, Moses spoke with the Lord face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Book of Exodus, I want to say it's verse chapter 3. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. Yet Jesus Christ was very clear over and over. He says, no man has seen the Father. So who was Moses talking to? He was talking to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has said, before Abraham was born, I am. Okay, we're loyal to our monarch. We're loyal to a king. We're loyal to his words. And when the devil comes along and the Jews come along and the synagogue of Satan comes along and the children of the devil comes along and the Antichrist comes along and accuse and accuse and accuse and accuse, go back and read the book of Acts and the Gospels and say, hey, this is nothing new. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Shake yourself free from the moral burdens of the Antichrist. FritzBergen, bloodandfaith.com.